This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Sponsored by AmeriSave, the official mortgage lender of the Miami Dolphins. Publix. To become a Publix member, visit clubpublix.com. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Dolphins football, presented by the Palm Beaches.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show right here on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network is all here. Seth Levitt, OJ McDuffie from the Fish Tank. I am Travis Wingfield from the Drive Time Podcast. And what a time for the first career interception of Noah Igbinoghene. What a time for a secondary held together by bubblegum and band-aids and juice. The defense does not allow a second half point, and that includes picks on back-to-back drives to put this game on ice. 4-3, OJ.
Oh, my goodness, man. We need this one tonight. We definitely need this one tonight. And honestly, you know, I mean, it's a hell of a game. A game that looked at the beginning to be like the Dolphins are going to dominate. But you got to expect the Mike Tomlin coach team to be able to weather the storm. You know, they had a nice crowd out here, and you figured they'd be in it. It was nice to see Tua back. And Tua started off like a gangbuster at the beginning, man. And then, you know, everything kind of settled down. Defense on the other side settled down. But it's how games are supposed to be. When you're celebrating the 72 team, you know, and you got the Pittsburgh Steelers here, and you got some guys from the Steelers back in the day here, it's supposed to be like a game back in the day. It's not supposed to be a, 35-10 win or whatever it might be. And that's what it turned out to be. It turned out to be one of those dogfights that these guys all endured back in the day, where the Dolphins in the early 70s dominated, and the Steelers learned from that, and they did the same thing. But tonight was our night, man, and hell yeah, win for us.
I mean, that pretty much wraps hell it up, yeah, as far as how we up, feel Juice. About it. Yeah, I mean, we even got, you mentioned the special night here tonight. Seth is wearing the Larry Sonka the hockey sweater. I'm not sure what exactly it
is. It's an old school football sweater, man. Come on.
In Pittsburgh, they played in those cold weather.
It's a good look. I mean, the colors always pop regardless, but we saw plenty of that here tonight at Hard Rock Stadium. And, you know, Juice mentioned it, and across the league this year, just the offense and scoring has been so down. We get a 16-10 final here at Hard Rock Stadium, so it's another one of these slug-it-out rock fight types of games. And, I mean, I know I want to talk about the defense here a lot, guys, but I think we start here with Tua Tagovailoa's return because Juice touched on it there a little bit, and Seth, he was cooking early, man. We thought, you know, you and I, those first three possessions, a touchdown, a couple of field goals, felt like it was on the verge of becoming a lopsided game, but it just kind of slowed down a little bit. But Tua in his first game back tonight, sharp, kind of some lulls there, and then it just kind of petered out there in the second half, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it did. And look, first and foremost, it was great to see him back out there. I think the team rallied around him. You certainly saw the way the crowd, just the response when he came running out of the tunnel. And then he was dealing. I'm with you. I thought we were going to put up 40 points the way things started. And then it just was like there was a little bit of rust, right? You know, some plays, you just started to see the accuracy just slowly become more and more uncharacteristic of what you expect from Tua. There were plays out there, Juice. We talked about it just a minute ago. There were plays out there to be made, and the throws were just a little bit off. And then, you know, it almost was like the bottom fell out of the offense there. But thank goodness. You know, again, go back to what Coach McDaniel said at the beginning. This is the defense's team until proven otherwise, and we were reminded of that today. And what'd you say, chewing gum, bubble gum, and Band-Aids or whatever it was? My God, that secondary. There's probably like three guys sitting in that room looking around it like, where did everybody go?
Right.
But they figured it out, and they played 2 weeks in a row now. They have been blanking teams. They have been, you know, there was a little bit of bend there, but they really never did break. And they won this football game for the Miami Dolphins today.
You get two picks, Juice, from a couple of guys that, I mean, if the season goes according to plan in terms of your injury situation, probably never see the field on defense. Like in an ideal situation, you know, if Byron Jones, Nick Needham, Kader Kohu, your entire, you know, all these guys that have gone out with injuries, if they don't have that happen, you probably never see Justin Bethel. You probably never see Noah Igbinoghene, but they both get big picks in this game in addition to Javon Hall in there late, who also in the safety room were down Brandon Jones as well. So Verone McKinley comes in and Clayton Fegelum makes a big play. It's kind of been the theme of the team this year, hasn't it, Juice? Just guys coming up and the next man up mentality, and here they are as banged up as anybody, and they're sitting at 4-3.
Yeah, well, you know what? You'd expect Noah to have some opportunities, you know what I mean? But Bethel, that's the one that's a gem right there for us, that have the guys that are down that we've had. We've lost some players that, you know, we were counting on in the season, but when you go that deep in the depth chart and you got a guy like that making plays, you know, we've been waiting for Noah to make plays. We've been waiting for him, right, Big Seth?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, this is a first-round draft pick, guys. Let's not forget that. You don't draft a guy in the first round without the expectation that he's going to come out there and be a major contributor for your team, and we haven't seen that. Heck, we haven't seen him active for more games, right, than not. But, boy, that was a first-round draft pick play at the end of that
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
Big-time play. And, I mean, I even tweeted out right towards the end of the first half that, man, that's like four good quarters in a row now from Igbinoghene because, you know, the game last week he was playing solid. I thought maybe he gained some confidence from that, maybe carried over to the game tonight. And then that third quarter or maybe it was late in the second half. I don't know exactly when it was, when they kind of got a few on him, right? They went down the field and Pickens had the nice touchdown catch in the corner. And then you see him he almost kind of landed out of bounds there at the end, but he got the feet down in bounds and makes a big play. And I'm sure he's going to have
the referee almost
face.
Missed that call.
What are we doing over there?
He's like, right there. He's
right there.
Pretty
Both
clear.
Feet.
I don't
clear,
understand.
White cleats,
everything
orange paint.
About everything. All right, but anyhow, I got you off track there, Travis.
No, but it's a great point.
It's exactly right. And, yeah, I mean, this defense, I mean, on a night where I even told Seth at one point, I think, you know, we'll get into the fourth down decision to not take the points there to make it a two-score game. But throughout the entire night, until those last two drives, it just felt like, despite the fact that Miami's offense was stalling out a lot, it just felt like they were always in control. And then towards the end, you kind of get that sick feeling in your stomach because you think it's going to go away and you're going to lose a game that you had in control the entire time. But, you know, Juice, I want to go back to you for this point that Seth made because it's interesting to me that he came out hot, the offense and Tua, and then you see the rust accumulate. How does that happen? How do you come out and start a game playing well when you've been off for 3 weeks, and then the rust starts after you have, what was it, 160 yards in that first quarter for the Dolphins offense?
Yeah, I think that's the crazy part because you think that the rust would be at the beginning of the whole thing, and then, you know, then you'll see him start to warm up and get involved. But I think also, though, you got to get in fact, the big thing that we have is adrenaline. That adrenaline – Come on, man. Let's think about this, man. How much was he chomping at the bit to get back out there?
He probably wanted to play last
week.
You know
what I mean? The fact that he could have and possibly thought he could and he'd get this opportunity on Sunday night when everybody else, the whole world. Look, I was in the airport today coming back from Penn State, and there was people coming in to watch for this game from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they say, well, they're talking about Tua playing tonight. How do you feel about that? I said, look, we're gamers, man. We're gamers. I bet Tua wanted to play last week. You know, so a lot of people thought Tua shouldn't. But Tua was the toughest player on the field to me at times,
dropping
especially
shoulders.
On the offensive side of football.
Tougher than I needed him to be.
Yeah, he scared the hell out of me a bunch of times, too. You know what I mean? But what I think Tua's mentality was, I'm going to show you guys that I'm tough. I don't need to know he's tough. I know he's tough.
Right.
I know Tua Tagovailoa is a tough-ass player, man. And I'm looking forward to, you know, where we're going to go from here, from this game today. But at the same time, though, man, at the same time, it's like these guys right here, they found a way to win in a tough-ass game. But here, though, bro, we got guys right now that need to figure out a way to put guys away.
Yeah.
I mean, we're positive. We've got to win tonight, 16-10. But we had a chance to make it even worse than that, Travis and Big Seth. We had a lot of opportunities
to make it worse. 19.
Yeah.
Definitely had a chance to be 19.
Well, yeah, but 19.
I'm with you, Juice. Yeah. They way too much meat left on the bone. There were plays to be made out there, and whether it was a decision of who they were throwing the ball to or just I don't want to go there with the receivers, but there were some missed targets there for sure. Here's the crazy thing, though. Still put up 372 yards of offense. Had 111 yards rushing. You know, so we've been complaining about where's the running game, where's the running game. They ran for 111 yards today, and I'm not just throwing out numbers to throw out numbers, but I'm saying there was productivity there. And so what can't be lost is this is a different team offensively when Tua is under center, even when he's not at his best. They absolutely are a different team. And I think part of the reason why you felt in control, Travis, and you're sitting right here, maybe I should let you speak for yourself, but I think part of the reason why you felt that is because they just still seem, even when they were out of sync, there's more of a rhythm there when Tua is under center. There's a reason that he's QB1. And I think that the disparity, we saw what that looked like. Now, this was a what happened in the last three games is not something that you expect to see. And maybe if Teddy or Skyler was able to actually play a complete game or two, then you would have seen what they can do as well. But it just is a different offense when Tua is there. I think that he'll get in rhythm. I think the receivers will get back in sync with him. And I don't expect to see them struggle the way we saw them struggle.
Yeah, but what about the fact that it started off so well and then it kind of –
I wish they would have gone up tempo more. Yeah. I don't know if that was part of it, but they were up tempo.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, as a wide receiver, Big Seth, up tempo is nice, but you can't.
Hey,
we
man.
Cannot. We're not track stars of football. But we cannot go up tempo
on the one drive.
I get
that
it. You can
like
do
it
every once in a while. You can mix it in. You can definitely mix it in, man, but to do it often is a problem.
I mean, it's offensive line.
I would be dead.
The only thing that works.
If you want the whole team, well, I get that part. But you want the whole wide receiving core on IVs, then do that. I'm just saying, bro. We're in shape, but damn.
They did go tempo there with a couple of nice Raheem Mostert runs off of that tempo look, and then again it bogged down after they kind of slowed things down. But it's you can't do it for a whole game, right? But it's nice to have a little bit of life you can inject into the offense. And you know, you mentioned, Seth, the comfort level that I felt there with Tua. Number one, I just felt like he kind of mitigates some potential issues that an offense can have. And I'm not saying with this offense in particular, any offense, whether it's a leak in protection, just things that happen on a given play. I thought that he mitigated some of that stuff pretty well in this game, especially early on, kind of managing the pocket, going off script. And the touchdown throw to Raheem Mostert was so nice because he had his eyes upfield and got through the pocket and found he knew where his back was, right? He knew exactly where that release valve was, goes to the sideline, gets that touchdown with a great block from Jaylen Waddle to find that pylon there. And then just also what he adds to the offense. A lot of that success early in this game was the RPO stuff, right, Juice? They got those jet sweep guys going across, and he's pulling it out and popping it over the middle to Mike and Jaylen and Tyreek and the rest of the guys. So he finishes the game 21 for 35. 60% is a low number for him on what we're used to with his standard. 261 yards at 7.5 yards per pass and a touchdown. Still a 92.7 rating.
Yeah, calculate some of those drops.
Some of the drop picks.
Yeah.
Well, the drop passes from the Dolphins for sure, but he also had some mistakes that probably could have been picked off another way. So
Facts.
We'll take it as it goes. Dolphins win this one 16-10. Plenty plenty more to come here for you guys on the Miami Dolphins postgame show. We'll talk about this defense a lot more because they were getting after it in this game. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Mazda. You've got to get to Gunther Mazda in Fort Lauderdale to experience a new Mazda SUV on 441 just north of I-595 or visit GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. We have Game Balls coming up in hour number 2. The first time we get to go back to Game Balls, guys, in a few weeks. I missed that segment. We don't have it. I also miss when we used to walk over to the radio booth here and just kind of like cruise through the mezzanine and, you know, kind of talk some trash to the opposing fans and just and have a nice little stroll over here. But the last... every game, we're white-knuckling it, and I don't like it very much, but we got here, and we got the 16-10 victory here on the Miami Dolphins postgame show. Seth Levitt, O.J. McDuffie, I'm Travis Wingfield. Let's go ahead and get to our key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and it was an interception by the snowman that we thought originally had put the game away.
Najee Harris, the running back, picked it out of the shotgun. Back to fire, and it's intercepted. The Dolphins get it. Holland with the interception, and that'll all but do it. The Dolphins just have to hang on to the football. Holland's second interception of the year. The Dolphins' second interception tonight.
Devon Holland read that perfectly. He had a receiver hook up in front of him, and he read the eyes and just cut right in front of it. Boy, he is something else.
Well, we had to endure another drive after that as the offense goes three and out and gives the ball back to Kenny Pickett and the Steelers, but they wind up throwing a third interception on that drive to Noah Igbinoghi. But, Juice, I wanted to talk to you about Javon Holland because, you know, the way this secondary has taken on injuries, especially the cornerback position, and I think it's changed the way they've kind of had to play some stuff in terms of their usual press, physical, reroute at the line and getting guys' faces and dial up pressure because you trust Xavier on the back end and the entire cornerback room. And look, they played great tonight, but I think when you go down so many key guys, it changes the way you do things. And to me, a big part of that, and I'm wondering if you agree, has been that Holland's kind of had to stay back a little bit and play more of a preventative role and hasn't had as many chances to kind of come down and drive on passes like that. But when you get third and 16 down near the red zone, he gets a chance, and man, that's what he does, right? When he sees that ball, he breaks on it. He's going.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of, like, you know, home run hitters in baseball. Sorry, Big Seth. They hit home runs in the second inning, or you got a guy like Javon Holland that makes picks, you know, in the red zone, where teams are going in and feeling good about themselves, and they got an opportunity, and then he closes it down, man. First thing happened week one and, you know, with New England, which was a huge first series for us as a defense. And then tonight, Jimmy, we came up a little short on closing it down. But at the same time, it shut that opportunity down and gave us, more time to go down and bleed some clock, man. Javon is finally, and back to your point, Travis, he's got to play coverage a lot more than we want him to right now. I think that's the way they feel.
Opposed to coming down and rushing.
Right, because, you know, we've got a lot of young guys. We talked about at the beginning of the show of the guys that we're playing because we have, bubblegum and Band-Aids?
You got to ask Travis.
Right, something like that. But, because that's the way it's been in the secondary, man. They're beat up. And so when you have beat up guys, and you also have young guys in there, you need the veteran guys, and it's hard to say that Javon's a veteran in the second year.
Sure.
You need him back there, to patrol and control things. So I'm making a lot of calls tonight. You know what I mean? You saw him making a lot of calls, just a lot of motions. A lot of these offense coordinators we're going to play against, and every team does it, they do a lot of motion, a lot of shifts to try to get people off balance. Guys like Javon have to make sure the guys in the back end are in the position they're going to be in. Are we blitzing? Are we playing zone? Are we playing man? Are we checking the man? Are we checking the zone? Have we seen this on film already, and this is what they do? Here's what they're going to – so there's a lot that goes on for a young guy. So if he's up near the line of scrimmage, it's hard to do all that. So you need a guy back there that's going to be, a quarterback in the secondary, and he's been great at it, man. But he's got these opportunities. Thank goodness he's taking advantage of them.
The way he drove on that pass, he was out before the ball was out.
That's probably the only chance he had, too. Like, a lot of times, Travis, he doesn't get those opportunities. He's got to play, deep and let everybody else make those plays. But for him, it gave him an opportunity to, to drive on that thing. It was pretty – it was nice. It was well played and I want to talk about what I've been upset about with that play, but it's okay.
On the pick?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We thought he had a chance to run that back for six. It didn't go that way. Quarterback got him out of bounds.
Say it, Juice.
You're pretty much there at this point.
Hell yeah. He should have buried Pickett. He should have buried him. You don't run out of bounds on kickers or quarterbacks. And Javon's a tough dude. You just don't run out of bounds on kickers and quarterbacks. You got to make them pay for the pick and pay for trying to tackle you. I had a couple punters that punted me and they pinned me to the sideline. I can't go out of bounds. I got to make them pay at the end because they don't want to tackle. Look, they ain't even got a mouthpiece in. They got a two-bar. They got a single bar or two-bar maybe and a flimsy chin strap. You got to make them pay for that. He's got to make pick. He's got to make him pay for the pick, and he did not. I'm not questioning Javon Holland's toughness, though. So I'm just saying that's what I would have done.
Just in the moment type of thing. Time I was thinking, get down, man. We have this game in hand. But then they had timeouts. They had time left, and we saw how that kind of came back there towards the end. But, just a really nice play. I love hearing you break down how important he is in that back end of the defense because we know what him and Brandon Jones, which, we'll see what was wrong with his knee. Yeah. He exited the game and didn't come back tonight. And he's such a big part of this defense, and it's just another injury to the secondary that continues to – for two straight weeks now, I thought they played two really good games here against the Vikings and the Steelers, and luckily get out of here tonight with the victory with Javon Holland and Noah Igbinoghi getting those late interceptions to put the game on ice there. But, man.
Let me say this, too, real quick, man. I want to give a quick shout-out to our fans out here, man.
It was amazing tonight.
It was one incredible atmosphere, man. I've been in a couple – incredible atmospheres in the last two nights. And this one right here, man, is right up there, man. They were ready to go. They've been here all day. You know, I've got a lot of incredible friends from Pittsburgh, and they're not happy right now. You know, I hope they enjoyed our weather, or if they live here, I hope they, you know, enjoy the tailgate.
Oh, what a weekend
but,
it was in
yeah,
South Florida.
You know what I mean? So all my good peeps, you know what I mean? I love the fact that, you know, you guys are great people, but you took that L tonight.
Yeah, thank you for it, because we needed it. We're on a three-game slide back in the victory column, and we have a couple minutes here left, Big Seth, but that juice reminded me of a point we were talking about. I don't remember when it was. It's a long night hanging out with you guys. At some point, we talked about this.
Is it a long night because you're hanging out with us?
No.
It's been a long night.
Just a long night.
I wasn't sure the way that was.
I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. I just like, man, these 820 games, I don't know, man. I'm not built for that. I'm not of this age anyway.
Sounds like, who's the old guy? What?
Yeah. What? Come on.
But my question was, we have 2 minutes till out, was, you know, Juice mentioned it. I was thinking about it on the drive in, like, man, this place is going to be electric. There's going to be a certain atmosphere in the air with the 72 team in the house. But you mentioned it. At a certain point, you have to come out and play a football game.
1,000%.
I have to imagine that's tough to get your head back into the right headspace when it comes to, you know, all the glitz and glamour, and then a football game breaks out.
Yeah, I mean, Juice would have to answer what it takes to get to that mindset, but I can just say, and it was going to be, if we had done Keys to the Game to try and mirror your fantastic weekly three keys to the game, my key to the game was going to be the
no, that's what I'm serious.
That's what I was going to say. I'm dead serious. So my key to the game was going to be that they had to tune out all of the distractions.
Yes.
Once the ball was kicked off, soak up the energy. How many opportunities do you get in life to run out of that tunnel and the smoke's there and the lights are out and it looks like a rock concert with everybody's phones and the music, and it was truly electric tonight, and you're playing against a storied franchise and all of those things, and then all of the other drama that was surrounding there, who's on the other sideline, who's back or under center, who's, you know, the 72 team, that's all amazing. But once the ball is kicked off, it had to be about about executing your assignment and getting to win number 4. And that was the point that I was trying to make. And some way, somehow, they found a way to do it.
Right. I do want to hear from OJ on that on the other side of the break here. We have to go to break, and we'll hear from head coach Mike McDaniel as well. But Javon Holland, that was your key player and key play of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall backs every vehicle they sell, because if it has their name on it, you have their word. So we'll hear from head coach Mike McDaniel here on the other side. Dolphins postgame also driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on. We're going to pull a quick okey-doke on you guys here real quick. We're going to go to Tua Tagovailoa first before head coach Mike McDaniel, but before any of that, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Let's go now to the quarterback who is 17-8 in his career as a starter. Here's Tua Tagovailoa.
How did it feel to be back?
It felt good. Felt good running out the tunnel. The atmosphere was great. Had a lot of support from the fans. And just being able to be out there with my teammates, it was awesome.
Two late drives in the game, but the Steelers are driving both times and ends in interceptions. But as the Steelers are driving for a potential go-ahead score, what's going through your mind on the sideline?
Well, situational awareness of things that could possibly happen if they do score, if they had to kick a field goal, things like that. So, you know, I would say I was prepared for whatever happened if they did kick a field goal, and then we got the ball back, or if they scored and we got the ball back, the time, what that looks like with two timeouts that we had left. So going over situational awareness.
Well, when you see Noah get that toe tag and grab in the back of the end zone, corner of the end zone, then what emotions are coming upon you?
Yeah, that's gratifying. You know, I think the defense played their asses off throughout the whole night. You know, they gave us many opportunities offensively to go and put points on the board for our team so that we wouldn't be in the situation we were in late in the game where it was 10 to 16. A lot of things that need to be corrected offensively obviously starts with me. But, you know, we'll take the win. We're extremely happy about that. We'll go back to the drawing board, when we come back in. But to what you said, a situation was coming to mind as well when Noah did get the interception because we thought he was probably down at the half-yard line, maybe 1 yard line, I'm not too sure. So in that situation, we'd probably have to quarterback sneak or do something like that to get out of the end zone and just run the clock down. But they caught it a touchback, and so we were able to kneel the ball.
What was working so well early, especially in the middle of the field, and then how did that kind of close up as the game went on? What the Steelers
are doing? Yeah, I think they made really good adjustments defensively, but they were just little misses here and there that we had offensively, and a lot of the misses could have turned into really big plays. So just better execution, and it starts with me, like I said.
So when you talked about the opportunity to meet with Bob Greasy for the first time, what did you take away from that experience?
He's a cool guy. We just said what's up. He just said, are you going to ball out tonight? I said that's the plan. We just had that kind of conversation back and forth, but really cool guy, really awesome to kind of be around him and the other guys. It's a great opportunity to be around a team, and a group of guys like that. Undefeated season in the NFL, that's hard. That's hard. It's hard to win games in the NFL. So, it's greatness that I was able to shake their hands.
So you said it felt good. How did it feel getting up there, not having been out as long as you missed? Are there any adjustments at this point of the season, or because it's this point of the season here, you just were able to start?
Yeah, well, not being able to play two games does have an effect on my performance in a way that I haven't seen full speed reps, in practice, where guys are coming to hit me, tackle me. So kind of getting used to that and, really just being able to help our O-line out, trying to get the ball out faster, trying to make quicker decisions for our guys, just so the defensive line doesn't get comfortable with their rush patterns and kind of finding the spot of where I'm dropping at. There are some things that, you do kind of have to just see until when you play the game, you don't get some of the looks in practice.
And you said that some plays could have turned into big plays for that. Did you feel fortunate that there was some potential interceptions dropped? And is that what you're talking about? Do you need some of that too to win a game?
Well, I wasn't talking about their defense. I was talking about our offense. Miscues with ball placement. Communication, with a route that, this receiver thought was this look and I thought was that look. Just miscommunications on our part with that. And we just couldn't find our rhythm again. So, that's something we'll have to work on.
You had two times that you lowered your shoulder and you were the aggressor there, lowering the head. You said this week that was maybe something you might want to avoid in the moment. Is it just too hard not to
go for? Well, situation, I can see the first down. To me, there were close calls where it's like, okay, maybe if I do just, put my shoulder down, hopefully I could get forward progress with this. But that was all it was. I wasn't trying to be Superman or superhero out there. I was just looking at the situation. The second one was a third down. Try to run and lower my shoulder, hoping to get through the guy to get the first down. So that's all it was.
Did you cut the
throw
it off right there?
Nope.
Final question? Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
So there is quarterback Tua Tagovailoa there at the press conference. That was asked at the very end if he spoke to Brian Flores. Obviously, that was the last question of the press conference, and it was a pretty brief one there, Big Seth. But what are your takeaways from this one? Because he gave us some pretty good stuff there, I thought.
He did. I thought really good stuff. You know, I thought that our media contingency here asked some good questions, and I think they really wanted Tua to open up emotionally and talk about, you know, what we were all feeling at the end of that game. But he didn't give him those answers, and honestly, I'm kind of glad. He was hyper-focused on what his job was as opposed to kind of the bigger picture. And so what's going through your mind there? I loved hearing situational awareness. You know, I mean, that was, you know, what's going to happen? Are we going to need to go down and get a field goal? If they get a field goal, situational awareness, I thought that was a super cool answer.
Never heard that before. That was great.
It was fabulous. And it just tells me how focused he was. And it doesn't feel like a PC answer. It's just like that's what he's programmed to do. And quite honestly, I don't want him getting caught up in the emotion. Figure that out in the locker room afterwards. And even on Noah's interception, he went back to it and he says, what was I thinking about? We thought he might have been down on a half-yard line. And so are we going to run a QB sneak? What are we going to run there? Because we need to get out of our own end zone. So I thought that was really cool. You talk about getting under the helmet. That was really cool to get into Tua's head there. He said the defense played their asses off.
I've never heard him curse
before. I've never heard Tua say something like that. So he's right. They did play their asses off. But that was, again, you know, we're talking about the maturity, the growth, the comfortability that Tua is in growing into being QB1. He is that guy. Little things like that stand out to me. Okay, so the defense did play their asses off. And, again, he continues to be accountable juice. Said there's a lot to be corrected offensively. It starts with me, right? And that's what we were saying here. There were a lot of misses. And he didn't just say there were misses, Travis. He said there were a lot of misses that could have been big plays. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, we talk about a game of inches, and everyone thinks that's like, you know, fourth and two or fourth and one, or did you get the first down? Well, no, it's like if I actually don't throw this off his fingertips and put it on the numbers, then maybe that guy's running for 40 yards as opposed to now it's second and 10. Right. So a lot of misses could have turned into big plays. Miscues with ball placement, clearly that's on him, and communication, and he said that that starts with him. We all wondered what the hell he was trying to do running through guys today. Said he wasn't trying to be Superman. Again, it was situational. That last one there, he thought that he could run through the guy, get to the first down. Came close. I thought maybe there should have at least been a measurement or they could have looked at that spot. And then what you alluded to right at the top of this segment here, Travis, is they asked him, you knew the question had to be asked. Did you talk to Brian Flores? And we pretty much got a nope.
And that was it.
All right, thanks, guys.
And you heard Ann there say a couple questions, and she gave him a couple more, and they were like, we're good.
That's all they needed to know at that point.
Once that goes by the boards, it goes that way.
It was pretty straightforward with an answer. There was no, you know, sometimes the answer is as simple as that.
Juice, you know, to go back to Seth's point that I think we all took away from this the most was, and we talk about this all the time, right, Big Seth, how much we appreciate his recall and the ability to say, oh, in this play, that safety peeled back, and I came, you know, just the way he sees the game, but is that something that you would do when the opposing offense was driving down? You're trying to think, okay, now if they get this spot right here, now we're going to have to go accomplish this. Because that, I thought that was pretty cool, and I'm curious to know if he communicates that with the rest of the guys on offense.
Well, I think that now, you know, when I'm watching a football game, but as a player, you know, honestly, I watched every single thing. A lot of guys might be sitting on the sideline, sitting on the bench. For me, I watch every single thing. So I'm always thinking about game time scenarios. You know, I try to think like a quarterback would think and like as we think as an offense. So, yeah, that's what you have to be in that mindset. It's a must that you're in that mindset because everything changes. Everything changes. Personnel, for first and foremost, is going to change. If we're back on the half-yard line, the personnel is going out on the field. It's not going to be four wide, five wide.
No.
It's not, right? It's not even going to be close. It's going to be probably three, four tight ends, a couple, you know, Engel and, you know, and Mostert or Edmonds, and that's how you get out of there, you know? So I love the fact that, you know, you have to be thinking ahead. If you're not thinking ahead in this game, then you're way behind. Because you have to think a couple plays ahead. Like, don't think that Mike McDaniel doesn't call something on first down to set up something for third down possibly, you know. And that's the way you have to think as a player as well. You know, we're setting this play up. We're setting this play up. We're setting this play up for this play to come up, you know, later in the game. So, I love it, man. Quarterbacks, they pay the big bucks for a lot of reasons.
Right.
And one of those reasons is thinking about situations like that. And, you know, Danny never sat down. So he watched it. He looked at the film that we ran down, Seth, the microfilm, whatever it was, from the 400 level of any stadium all the way down
to the black and white Polaroids that they were, on the long strip there.
By the time we might have had a turnover by then, and you don't know.
That's right.
Depends on how
Tony Egg was built a career running those things.
Yeah, it depends on how in shape the guy is bringing him down the stairs and you know, how clear the pathway is, man. But, you know, go figure it out, man, and then go out there and, you know, and think about what's next. You have to start thinking ahead of the game. And the fact that we got a young quarterback that's thinking about what's next in any situation, whether we get the pick or we're in the one or it's a touchback, if they score, you gotta run all those scenarios through your head, and I'm sure that Coach Mike McDaniel is doing the same with him.
And I think it's the first game since the – I want to say the Buffalo game, so they didn't have a turnover, so that's a positive sign as well. I know there was opportunities for the Steelers to get those takeaways, but it didn't go that way, and so it was a big part of this game for Miami to play that kind of ball
control.
We've
had those opportunities too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we didn't get them like ways. We need them, yeah.
That's
so,
exactly
yeah,
right.
In that Buffalo game.
That freaking Buffalo game, but hey, that was W. We got W tonight. And I thought that was probably the worst tape, you know, for Tua in the offense since that week one game is, you know, when he was playing, and that was, you know, these games are both in kind of similar territory. Hopefully that's a case of knocking off the rust in week one, now coming back off the injury. But Tua and the Dolphins are back in the winner's circle once again. We'll hear from head coach Mike McDaniel here soon on the Dolphins post-game show, which is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And we're kind of... We made a late game adjustment here, a fourth quarter adjustment, if you will, to do something we haven't done before. Let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game, brought to you by the stylish and versatile Lexus RX. It's built for the modern family. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Typically, this is a time where I give you the plays, the yardage, who scored the touchdown, and the all the nitty-gritty about the offense and what they did to put the ball into the end zone. But here, we're going to go over to the defensive side of the football for your drive of the game, and it was capped off with a game-winning play by none other than cornerback Noah Igbinoghene.
Pickett out of the shotgun, back to throw, looking, rolling, looking left, throws it downfield, it's intercepted by Igbinoghene. Did he get his feet down? They're going to say no. They're going to say no. Now it's the other official coming in to say, I did. He did get him. They're
tell
having
you what,
a conversation.
Either way, Iggy just made a heck of a play. And will be, if this is an interception, it stays.
One, two, he's in.
Oh, he got him down.
He's in.
He got him down.
He is in, Joe, without question.
Noah Igbinoghene just made his biggest play.
So it's a 10-play drive for the Dolphins defense, and I think, Seth, you had mentioned to me in the first quarter, maybe it was when you said it, was something about the offense having significantly more drives, more time of possession, and as the night went along, you were saying, like, oh, they're catching up. Oh, now they've taken the lead in those two stats.
Boy, did that flip, huh?
Yeah, it flipped real big fast, time, and it wound up fast. Being 69 plays for the Steelers to Miami, 62. Again, 10 of the plays on that drive, and I keep thinking, you know, the drive before that was probably
12.
Similar.
Yeah.
So 22 plays there in two drives, and you're, you know, you got to think you're gashed, you're on your you're on adrenaline at that point trying to get through. But Noah Igbinoghene comes up with the play of the game to seal the victory for the Dolphins, even though did Jimmy think it was a Steelers touchdown? Because he didn't seem too excited about it.
No. He called it. He was trying to figure out because they did. They ruled it out at first. So Jimmy didn't want to get too excited until he knew what was going on.
Caught ball, wound up getting his feet in there at the end, tapped those feet there. That's some toe drag swag there. Juice kind of looking like you out there.
Man, oh, man, I'm going to tell you this, man.
Don't jump.
Don't jump, first and foremost. You know, I said that
we
already.
We talk about that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, don't jump. But, I mean, Noah Igbinoghene, man, just one of the biggest plays right there, man, that you've seen a guy have in their lives, man. And Seth, we talked about this earlier in the week about a punt return I had on a Sunday night that kind of put me on the map, but kind of made me feel like, you know, I belong and I come along. A night like that for Noah, it could go mm-hmm. a long way for him, man. And a pick like that to put a game away is big. That's big time. You saw how his teammates felt about it.
That's exactly what I was going to go to.
Man, his teammates, man, it's like they could tell you, like, there was that, you know, I mean, go back to, like, San Francisco 49ers back in the day when Steve Young got that monkey off his back.
Sure.
It seemed like there was a monkey off his back today, you know what I mean? Kind of like I had the same experience, man. And good for Noah, because Noah's been playing well. Noah has been making plays, but Noah lately has been playing very well, you know. So, yeah, man, kudos to, I mean, that's that. And one thing I was going to say, too, is finally the defense gets to drive of the game. You guys get so offensive caught up all the time.
You guys.
You know what I mean? You always want to be offensive.
Who's you guys?
Have you heard of the show Seinfeld where you play the same character, Big Seth? Because we're doing a character
you
turn
guys.
Here on us.
Unbelievable. Look, tonight was about the defense. This was the offense went out there in its first three drives, gave us points.
Yeah.
You know, that touchdown on that first drive, it looked like it was going to be a 40-point night, but it very quickly became all about the defense. And so it's apropos that it is the defense that gets the drive of the game.
Apropos juice.
And when else?
Big word.
You know, when does it matter most? But on the last drive of the game to protect the win.
Yeah.
We must protect this house. And to your point, Travis, the drive before was 12 plays, 62 yards. How does it end? In an interception. Then this drive, 10 plays, 62 yards. How does it end? In an interception. We haven't had a pick since what? Week one?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They got three of them tonight, two of them on the last two drives. That is a spectacular performance by the defense, and for it to be Noah Igbinoghene, who go through Twitter, you've got guys – ripping themselves for ripping Noah earlier
That's
in the
right,
game,
right.
calling him the
That's
worst
right.
first-round pick in the history of this franchise.
I love
and
it.
Now, Noah Igbinoghene, we love you. So, I mean, what an amazing moment for him. I think a great moment. I have to imagine the personnel department's like, we told you! We told you he could do it! You know, we can't ignore the fact that the head coach that selected him was on the other sidelines, right? And so, and Noah has barely had any play time, but
right.
he was out there. He's been forced into the lineup the last 2 weeks, and I think he's held his own, and then he delivers that play. So, hell yeah, that's the drive of the game. What are you going to remember from this game?
The
uniforms
those picks,
are
the,
right.
Yeah,
the uniforms
night.
Are
right.
slick. And those interceptions,
the opening
and that was the moment. My hope is that Noah Igbinoghene just trends upward from here. But to your point, Juice, you saw the entire team. They know he's been much maligned since he's been here. They know how meaningful that was for him.
Yep.
I have to believe that was a huge moment for him as an individual, and it certainly was a big moment for the team.
I think that plays a microcosm of the end of the way that game goes, because I'm looking at the play sheet here, and we saw the fourth and sixth catch that Freiermuth made right behind Eric Rowe, who had perfect coverage.
Oh, my God.
But the ball just sneaks in under the arm and it goes to the ground, survives that. Like, what a catch from the former Penn State Nittany Lion down the middle of the field.
I don't like him so much
No,
today.
Not on that play. And that's how that whole drive went. Like, the Dolphins would get him behind the sticks. The Steelers would pick up some more yards. They would eventually move the sticks. And, you know, when you get those four downs, Juice, it's obviously easier to convert when you know you have to go like that. So Miami's defense to come out there and in the hurry up and just get after the pass rush, snap and snap again, and the secondary cover every single snap. It's just, man, they were out there for a long time and they kept getting it done over and over again. No points in that second half, and they had to, because otherwise they lose the game.
Yeah, I mean, there were opportunities. I mean, that defense shut down. I mean, and Seth mentioned it really big time, and those last couple were obviously the biggest ones of the game. Pittsburgh was in this game, I mean, honestly, after the first quarter was over, you know, and then they had these drives, and you know, our defense didn't break, you know. And then you got these last ones at the end where they're driving down the field. You talk about that, 62 yards, and then we end with picks. Dude, they had every opportunity, but our defense did not let this victory, the one that they worked their asses off, you know what I mean, to preserve. They closed it out too, man. And what I always took from stuff like this is I always felt like the offense can learn how to do their part or share in that, you know, that victory. The offense did a great job getting it started. Sometimes we do lay on our defense at the end of the game. But when you get defense doing that, a couple picks at the end, especially the second to last pick, when you get that pick, you should be going down there and putting them away at that point. And we didn't do that as an offense. When the defense, when we got Javon Holland's pick that Jimmy thought was the one that was going to seal the deal, our offense should go down there and put the Steelers away. And that's what we got to get to as a team.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. The good teams, the really good teams, that's what they do. And that's what if we want to get to that level, we got to put teams away when our defense continues to give us the ball back. We can't ask them to hold a lead that's less than one score or one score and over and over and over again. Offense had to, you know, they got to handle their business.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, the only thing that went right on that drive when they got the ball back is that Pittsburgh was forced to burn all the remaining timeouts. So that was a good thing. Pin them deep, and they just didn't have enough there. And
right.
It got close. But again, going back to the drive of the game, I mean, I thought there were some great plays by the defense, but none greater than what Noah Igbinoghene pulled off there at the end. So I'm with you, Deuce. But I will say this. We have seen circumstances before with this team prior to this season where you're like, the offense needs to do more. But you don't necessarily think they're capable of doing more. I think part of our frustration is we know that they're better than what they put on film today. But there's a positive in that. I think that there's room to grow. I think, I like the fact that you get the same starting quarterback 2 weeks in a row, right?
Yes.
And so my hope is that Tua starts to look more like the guy we saw the first three games of the season. And so I'm just encouraged by – I have not seen a game this year, win or lose, that looked like they were overmatched.
Right.
They have been capable of or have beaten their opponent each and every week. I can't say that last year. I don't know that I could say that the last handful of years.
Right.
This year, it's not a homer thing. I just looking at what's on paper and looking at what the results are, watching the game, I think this is a team that's capable, so far has been capable of winning every game they've lined up to play.
Yeah.
And so that's where my frustration lies, is that they can perform better than they did.
Right.
It's different than being hopeless and saying, I don't know what we're going to do because they don't have the answers. I think they have the answers. They just didn't answer the questions right today.
Yeah, sorry to jump in on you there, Big Seth.
No, that's all right. I know we had to go to break.
No, at this time last year, they're 1-6, and, I mean, there was multiple games where it was like, geez, how do we compete with Tampa Bay? You know, that was a blowout game that we were trying to figure out last year and how to figure out how to do a radio show after the fact. But, I look at this 7 games in, and they're 4-3, obviously. I don't think they've played a complete game yet. And I think it's coming at some point, and hopefully sooner than later.
Well, the fact that we can win games without playing complete games,
nice.
I think that's what I was trying to say in a very long-winded, circuitous way.
Circuitous.
I'm on it today.
That's one of my words. That goes up there next to Cavalcade. One of my big ones there. Yeah, and then also before we get out of here, we're talking about guys kind of getting the monkey off the back. How about Jason Sanders? 4-for-4 today.
Yeah,
did every single one of them after a rough go for him, missing some kicks lately.
We can give him more time if we need to. I know we're up against the break.
We'll come back to it, Jason.
You're right, man. Outstanding night tonight.
Let's go ahead and come back to Sanders. We'll also get head coach Mike McDaniel here. That was your Lexus drive of the game, brought to you by the stylish and versatile Lexus RX. It's built for the modern family. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Dolphins post game is driven by Gunther Mazda as well. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium: Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. We ended that last segment talking about kicker Jason Sanders. And, I got to go ahead and make a correction on my verbiage there. He made 4 kicks. 3 were field goals. 1 was a PAT.
Right.
Preach gave me the assist there, saying, hey, he did make 4 kicks, Travis. You weren't wrong. You actually were right. So it was, 24 yards, 42 yards, and 47. I like the way they shortened that field goal there at the end of the half. I get a couple of 3-yard completions to Raheem Mostert to get him under 50. So, yeah, Deuce, you said you wanted to give him some love. I thought special teams today in general was very good.
Man, you think they have been under fire? I mean, they've had a rough beginning of the season, and I'm glad they're working on getting that figured out, man. Morstead's it's been solid the whole time. But it's great to see Jason, get up there and with the confidence and nail those nail kicks, they weren't.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And we're kind of we made a late game adjustment here, a fourth quarter adjustment, if you will, to do something we haven't done before. Let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game, brought to you by the stylish and versatile Lexus RX. It's built for the modern family. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Typically, this is a time where I give you the plays, the yardage, who scored the touchdown, and the all the nitty-gritty about the offense and what they did to put the ball into the end zone. But here, we're going to go over to the defensive side of the football for your drive of the game, and it was capped off with a game-winning play by none other than cornerback Noah Igbinoghene.
Pickett out of the shotgun, back to throw, looking, rolling, looking left, throws it downfield, it's intercepted by Igbinoghene. Did he get his feet down? They're going to say no. They're going to say no. Now it's the other receiver, the other official coming in to say, I did. He did get him. They're
tell
having
you what,
a conversation.
Either way, Iggy just made a heck of a play. And will be, if this is an interception, it stays.
One, two, he's in.
Oh, he got him down.
He's in. He's
he
in.
Got him down.
He is in, Joe, without question.
Noah Igbinoghene, he just made his biggest play.
So it's a 10-play drive for the Dolphins defense. And I think, Seth, you had mentioned to me in the first quarter, maybe it was when you said it, was something about the offense having significantly more drives, more time of possession. And as the night went along, you were saying, like, oh, they're catching up. Oh, now they've taken the lead in those two stats.
Boy, did that flip, huh?
Yeah, it flipped real big fast, time. And it wound up being 69 plays for the Steelers to Miami's 62. Again, 10 of the plays on that drive. And I keep thinking, you know, the drive before that was probably
12.
Similar.
Yeah.
So 22 plays there in two drives. And you're, you know, you got to think you're gassed, you're on your you're on adrenaline at that point trying to get through. But Noah Igbinoghene comes up with the play of the game to seal the victory for the Dolphins, even though did Jimmy think it was a Steelers touchdown? Because he didn't seem too excited about it.
No. He called it. He was trying to figure out, because they did. They ruled it out at first. So Jimmy didn't want to get too excited until he knew what was going on.
Caught ball, wound up getting his feet in there at the end, tapped those feet there. That's some toe drag swag there. Juice kind of looking like you out there.
Man, oh, man, I'm going to tell you this, man.
Don't jump.
Don't jump, first and foremost. You know, I said that already.
We talk about that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, don't jump. But, I mean, Noah Igbinoghene, man, just one of the biggest plays right there, man, that you've seen a guy have in their lives, man. And Seth, we talked about this earlier in the week about a punt return I had on a Sunday night that kind of put me on the map, but kind of made me feel like, you know, I belong and I come along. A night like that for Noah, it could go a long way for him, man. And a pick like that to put a game away is big. That's big time. You saw how his teammates felt about it.
That's exactly what I was going to go to.
Man, his teammates, man, it's like they could tell you, like, there was that, you know, I mean, go back to, like, San Francisco 49ers back in the day when Steve Young got that monkey off his back.
Sure.
It seemed like it was a monkey off his back today, you know what I mean? Kind of like I had the same experience, man. And good for Noah, because Noah's been playing well. Noah has been making plays, but Noah lately has been playing very well, you know. So, yeah, man, kudos to, I mean, that's that. And one thing I was going to say, too, is, finally, the defense gets to drive of the game. You guys get so offensive caught up all the time.
You guys.
You know what I mean? You always want to be offensive.
Who's you guys?
Have you heard of the show Seinfeld where you play the same character, Big Seth? Because we're doing a character turn here on us.
Unbelievable. Look, tonight was about the defense. This was the offense went out there in its first three drives, gave us points.
Yeah.
You know, that touchdown on that first drive, it looked like it was going to be a 40-point night. But it very quickly became all about the defense. And so it's apropos that it is the defense that gets the drive of the game.
Apropos juice.
And when else?
Big word.
You know, when does it matter most? But on the last drive of the game to protect the win.
Yeah.
We must protect this house. And to your point, Travis, the drive before was 12 plays, 62 yards. How does it end? In an interception. Then this drive, 10 plays, 62 yards. How does it end? In an interception. We haven't had a pick since what? Week one?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They got three of them tonight, two of them on the last two drives. That is a spectacular performance by the defense, and for it to be Noah Igbinoghene, who, go through Twitter, you've got guys ripping themselves for ripping Noah earlier
That's
in the
right,
game,
right.
calling him the
That's
worst right. first-round pick in the history of this franchise.
I love it.
And now, Noah Igbinoghene, we love you. So, I mean, what an amazing moment for him. I think a great moment. I have to imagine the personnel department's like, we told you! We told you he could do it! you know, we can't ignore the fact that the head coach that selected him was on the other sidelines, right? And so and Noah has barely had any play time, but right. He was out there. He's been forced into the lineup the last 2 weeks, and I think he's held his own, and then he delivers that play. So, hell yeah, that's the drive of the game. What are you going to remember from this game?
The
uniforms
those picks,
are the, right. Yeah, the uniforms night. Are slick. And those interceptions, and that was the moment. My hope is that Noah Igbinoghene just trends upward from here. But to your point, Juice, you saw the entire team. They know he's been much maligned since he's been here. They know how meaningful that was for him. Yep. I have to believe that was a huge moment for him as an individual, and it certainly was a big moment for the team.
I think that plays a microcosm of the end of the way that game goes, because I'm looking at the play sheet here, and we saw the fourth and sixth catch that Freiermuth made right behind Eric Rowe, who had perfect coverage.
Oh, my God.
But the ball just sneaks in under the arm and it goes to the ground, survives that. Like, what a catch from the former Penn State Nittany Lion down the middle of the field.
I don't like him so much
today. Not on that play. And that's how that whole drive went. Like, the Dolphins would get him behind the sticks. The Steelers would pick up some more yards. They would eventually move the sticks. And, you know, when you get those four downs, Juice, it's obviously easier to convert when you know you have to go like that. So Miami's defense to come out there and in the hurry up and just get after the pass rush, snap and snap again, and the secondary cover every single snap. It's just, man, they were out there for a long time and they kept getting it done over and over again. No points in that second half, and they had to, because otherwise they lose the game.
Yeah, I mean, there were opportunities. I mean, that defense shut down. I mean, and Seth mentioned it really big time, and those last couple were obviously the biggest ones of the game. Pittsburgh was in this game, I mean, honestly, after the first quarter was over, you know, and then they had these drives, and you know, our defense didn't break, you know. And then you got these last ones at the end where they're driving down the field. You talk about that, 62 yards, and then we end with picks. Dude, they had every opportunity, but our defense did not let this victory, the one that they worked their asses off, you know what I mean, to preserve. They closed it out too, man. And what I think, what I always took from stuff like this is I always felt like the offense can learn how to do their part or sharing that, you know, that victory. The offense did a great job getting it started. Sometimes we do lay on our defense at the end of the game. But when you get defense doing that, a couple picks at the end, especially the second to last pick, when you get that pick, you should be going down there and putting them away at that point. And we didn't do that as an offense. When the defense, when we got Javon Holland's pick that Jimmy thought was the one that was going to seal the deal, our offense should go down there and put the Steelers away. And that's what we got to get to as a team.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. The good teams, the really good teams, that's what they do. And that's what if we want to get to that level, we got to put teams away when our defense continues to give us the ball back. We can't ask them to hold a lead that's less than one score. Or one score and over and over and over again. Offense had to, you know, they got to handle their business.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, the only thing that went right on that drive when they got the ball back is that Pittsburgh was forced to burn all the remaining timeouts. So that was a good thing. Pinned them deep, and they just didn't have enough there. And it got close. But again, going back to the drive of the game, I mean, I thought there were some great plays by the defense, but none greater than what Noah Igbinoghene pulled off there at the end. So I'm with you, Juice. But I will say this: we have seen circumstances before with this team prior to this season where you're like, the offense needs to do more. But you don't necessarily think they're capable of doing more. I think part of our frustration is we know that they're better than what they put on film today. But there's a positive in that. I think that there's room to grow. I think, you know, I like the fact that you get the same starting quarterback 2 weeks in a row, right? You know, and so my hope is that Tua starts to look more like the guy we saw the first three games of the season. And so I'm just encouraged by – I have not seen a game this year, win or lose, that looked like they were overmatched.
Right.
They have been capable of or have beaten their opponent each and every week. I can't say that last year. I don't know that I could say that the last handful of years.
Right.
This year, it's not a homer thing. I just looking at what's on paper and looking at what the results are, watching the game, I think this is a team that's capable, so far has been capable of winning every game they've lined up to play.
Yeah.
And so that's where my frustration lies, is that they can perform better than they did.
Right.
When you – it's different than being hopeless and saying, I don't know what we're going to do because they don't have the answers. I think they have the answers. They just didn't answer the questions right today.
Yeah, sorry to jump in on you there, Big Seth.
No, that's all right. I know we had to go to break.
No, at this time last year, they're 1-6, and, I mean, there was multiple games where it was like, geez, that's
right.
How do we compete with Tampa Bay? You know, that was a blowout game that we were trying to figure out last year and how to figure out how to do a radio show after the fact. But, you know, I look at this 7 games in, and they're 4-3, obviously. I don't think they've played a complete game yet. I mean,
no.
And I think it's coming at some point, and hopefully sooner than later.
Well, the fact that we can win games without playing complete games.
Nice.
I think that's what I was trying to say in a very long-winded, circuitous way.
Circuitous.
I'm on it today.
That's one of my words. That goes up there next to Cavalcade. One of my big ones there. Yeah, and then also, before we get out of here, we're talking about guys kind of getting the monkey off the back. How about Jason Sanders? 4-for-4 today.
Yeah.
He did every single one of them after a rough go for him, missing some kicks lately.
We can give him more time if we need to. I know we're up against the break.
We'll come back to it.
Jason, you're right, man. Outstanding night tonight.
Let's go ahead and come back to Sanders. We'll also get head coach Mike McDaniel here. That was your Lexus Drive of the Game, brought to you by the stylish and versatile Lexus RX. It's built for the modern family. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda as well. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. We ended that last segment talking about kicker Jason Sanders. And, you know, I got to go ahead and make a correction on my my verbiage there. He made 4 kicks. 3 were field goals. 1 was a PAT.
Right.
Preach gave me the assist there, saying, hey, he did make 4 kicks, Travis. You weren't wrong. You actually were right. So it was, 24 yards, 42 yards, and 47. I like the way they shortened that field goal there at the end of the half by getting a couple of 3-yard completions to Raheem Mostert to get him under 50. So, yeah, Deuce, you said you wanted to give him some love. I thought special teams today in general was very good.
Man, you think they have been on fire? I mean, they've had a rough beginning of the season, and I'm glad they're working on getting that figured out, man. Morstead's it's been solid
the
whole
time.
You know, but it's great to see Jason, you know, get up there and with the confidence and nail those nail kicks, you know, they weren't question mark kicks.
Yep.
And that's what you see as a kicker and definitely as fans. You know, one more we probably could have had. You could have got your 4 field goals, Travis, you were looking for. Fortunately, it didn't come back to hurt us. But coverage on punts, outstanding. You know, hang time, outstanding. Touchbacks from Jason, you know what I mean, what you want to do. You don't want any of those opportunities that we saw a few weeks ago where we had a touchdown return on kickoff. It was a Ravens game.
Yes,
yep.
Opener.
Yep.
Or opening kickoff.
Yep. And so, you know, those things we can't have. So they've heard the message. Special teams has heard the message, and I'm sure it's not a silent or quiet message because they have not held up their end of the bargain. We talk about complimentary football, all 3 phases. Special teams has been one of the detriments, and they know that. But we know we can be better. We got great guys that do teams, and they got a lot of pride in what they do. Special teams is a pride thing. It's such a pride thing because most of the guys there, they're not starters. They don't have their T-shirts or jerseys in the gift shops. You know, those are guys that are, you know, trying to make things happen. And when there's the spotlight on those guys, you know, they have the pride about them because they will do the quote-unquote dirty work when it comes to football teams. It's easy to be the number one receiver or quarterback or whatever, but be the number 3, 5, 6, you know, guy or lineman or, you know, linebacker especially or tight end. Those are the guys do it. They do a lot of work, man, to make us all look good, man. And kudos to those guys for getting it right because they've had a rough stretch.
And what a good signing Justin Bethel has been. We'll talk about him more here in hour number 2. But man, he was absolutely on it, just covering and playing defense as well. It was all over the place in this game tonight. We have 1 minute left here, Juice. I'm gonna throw it back to you here real quick. But I want to get back to another point we left off earlier in the show. You know, all the pomp and circumstance, the golf carts carrying around the 72 team and their families. You know, there must have been 10 times as many field passes in this game tonight as normal because there was people all over the field when I got here 2 hours before the kickoff. I'm sure Rick Ross is out there somewhere at some point. They kill the lights in this palace we all call our office. It looks like a nightclub. Just crazy. But at some point, you got to play a football game, right? Like, how do you get your mindset into the right spot to do that?
Well, I hope those guys are in the locker room not even seeing all that. You know what I mean? I think that's the key. You know, you know what's going on. You know the 50th team's been here and, you know, the chatter. Hopefully Coach Mike McDaniel, you know, showed them the love that they deserve for this team, but let them know that we got bigger fish to fry. You know, we love and respect and honor our team, but at the same time, though, we're the ones that got to have to go out there and play. Larry Zonka's not going to go out there and play. Greasy's not playing. Larry Little, you know, my man Larry Seipel, they're not playing, you know, tonight. So I think that the fact that, you know, and I'm going to tell you this. These young guys, they don't care about us OGs. And I'm an OG, and those guys are the OOGs, you know what I mean? So they respect what they're doing. But honestly, man, they're so about their business now. And I love it about these current guys, man. They're just about their business. And it's great to have those guys out there. And we've had guys out there. I mean, we talked about Big Seth. We talked about a little bit about, when Larry Zonka and Travis, when we were talking about it on our spaces last week.
That was awesome.
About Larry Zonka, you know, when they came back for the 85 Bears game, you know, or how he is now when it comes to, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, talking to Manny Fernandez, or how it was when New England lost the Super Bowl to the Giants. It's like, man, coming out here is great for all of us and our alumni. But, man, these other guys, they respect that, but they want to get back to business, man. And they had a different momentum going tonight in terms of seeing your leader back in, your QB1 back in the game. You could tell that the energy was unbelievable, only in the stands, but you could tell the team had that same energy, man. And that's something we can grow from.
When he came out of the tunnel and his teammates greeted him, I knew for a fact
he was going to be the last one called.
Yeah, had to be.
Tyreek, then him. And it was unbelievable, man. Great job of the announcement. Because remember back in the day, Big Seth, it was like 11 guys only. You know what I mean? You can announce as many people as you want.
Two backs, two tight ends, three wideouts. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And our social team at Miami Dolphins, they had a really cool video following him out of the tunnel and seeing the way that his teammates embrace him. So really cool if you haven't seen that, at Miami Dolphins on Twitter. Antennas up, game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn all about the free programming waiting for you, including Miami Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Dolphins postgame also driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Hour number one is in the books. Hour number two of the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show coming your way next.